I think most importantly, I'm excited about meeting the members of this community. I'm excited to listen to what you have to say, to your thoughts, to your ideas, to your experiences. And I'm really going to use that in order to really determine what this community needs from this police department to make this a better place to live.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You know, I will have various priorities that I will set forth as police chief, but I can really just identify them in two simple terms, you know, community trust and community safety. Those are the two main things that I'm going to focus on, and everything else is going to revolve around them. And these are big challenges, although they're stated very simply.
Well, I can tell you, if not the one of the hardest working men in the valley right now, the new police chief, Paco Valderrama. Chief, welcome in again, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Happy to be here.
Am I right? Are you working hard?
I'm working pretty hard.
You come home worn out at night?
Worn out, yeah. Well,
hey, I know every day is probably different, but what is a police chief's kind of routine? Like when you wake up, do you go see what happened overnight immediately? What do you first
Yeah, I actually get up very early in the morning, typically about 4:45, and the first thing I do is I look at my phone because I have the notifications from the night before. To be honest with you, it's a little bit dramatic every day that I get to see what happened, and sometimes it's peaceful and sometimes there's a couple shootings, and
that can be a sad way to wake up.
Well,
it's part of the job, but
it's part of the job. I have to see what's going on, that way I can see what we're doing, how we're doing it, what needs to be better.
And I guess throughout the week, certain meetings with different departments and whatnot.
Yeah, it stays, you mentioned the word routine, and really my day isn't routine. I mean, it's various meetings. For example, today I had a criminal intel meeting with major city chiefs. Very important meeting because we're kind of taking the pulse of the country right now, going through the George Floyd trials. So we want to make sure that we're prepared in the event that there's any anticipated civil unrest, which here in Fresno, we are not expecting that. We didn't have it last time, and that part of the reason is because of relationships have been made since before I got here, right? We had a Mayor Dyer who was chief for a long time, and he made some solid relationships. So we had that community support, and it's very important that the police department pre-plan and reach out to some of these groups. That way, they can if they are going to assemble and peacefully protest, they can do so within the law.
25 years you've been law enforcement?
Total, yes.
Total. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. We didn't have it last time, but never know this time. Let's talk about the kind of the big picture. We got so many of these little stories, and by that I mean crime that doesn't end up as a murder. That's what I mean by the smaller stories. Mm-hmm. So many of these, because of the big picture that happened last summer, the anti-police movement, the defunding of the police when that was implemented across America, now cities are now not defunding. They're refunding. They realized the mistakes that were made, and that was an easy call to make that was going to happen.
Well, that is true, and luckily here in Fresno, we actually have a lot of support from the community, especially City Hall and our City Council people. They understand that we have a job to do, and from what I understand from my readings, the budget actually went up a little bit. And this year it's going to go up a little bit more.
Well, and that is good to happen. We didn't have cuts like that. Let me ask you, Chief, more or less support from City Hall than maybe in Oklahoma City? Compare Fresno to Oklahoma City with support for the police.
I'm actually seeing a lot more support.
More?
It seems like the entire city government, including our city council people, are going in the same direction. I have personally met with all of them. One-on-one, and I've received a lot of support. So they understand that as police chief, I have a very, very difficult job to do. And, keeping a police or a city safe through a police department is expensive as well. So, there's a lot of issues. I need more officers. We have to provide training. We got to do things like that. So that's
how many officers are you short right now?
So, let's see, I got the numbers yesterday, 57 short. We have 57 vacancies, but the issue is that I lose 4 a day. That's our attrition rate.
Four a day?
I'm sorry, for a month. I'd be out of officers in a couple months.
Indeed.com needs to show up right now.
Even
for a month, though, I mean, that's still to find four qualified officers to replace. You know, that's still a challenge. I mean,
it is
because you're competing with many other municipalities around America.
We are. So the city is putting together a plan, a big hiring push. The goal is going to be 120 new police officers to replace those that are leaving, and also to fill those vacancies. So 120 police officers in 15 months. That's something that that's the goal, and that's going to take a little bit of money. You know, a hiring campaign, recruiting, getting out to the colleges, trying to find some of our youth to be cadets. So, you know, in a couple of years they can start the police academy. So it's going to be a long term process for sure.
We hear of stories, and when we hear shootings of gang members shooting other gang members, it's horrible. But they were both out there, you know, shooting at each other. When you have a man trying to raise money for his family, selling food out on the street with four kids, and loves the community, and the community loves him, that I think that was the story that broke a lot of straw that broke the camel's back. Was it? I mean, for like, well, enough is enough, because I heard it in your voice.
Yeah, it's heart wrenching, Trevor. I'll tell you what, it's heart wrenching, and let me clarify something real quick. Every victim's important. Every single victim is important, and they all need to be supported. You know, this one just kind of stood out because this is an individual who was minding his own business. He was out there trying to make a living. You know, had not hurt anybody. He did not have a criminal record. He was not involved in anything negative, and he was just the random victim of a homicide for no reason. For made no sense. You know, if you want to rob him, rob the guy.
And it was the 18-year-old was arrested. Right. Did he get any reason? I mean, is there anything to go? Like, was he mentally stable? PCP? What? We hope it's something like that. Right. It's just not a normal thing.
I can tell you, whatever it is, it's senseless, and it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
And it did. So that's terribly sad.
Yeah. Now, a lot of other crime going on. Right here, we've had three catalytic converters heisted in a locked up gated area. And those are like $2,000 a piece. You know, the property crime is rampant. And I've heard you in your comments talking about it's a combination of, even before you got here, Prop 47, 57 opened up jail cell doors. The lockdown with coronavirus, they opened up jail cell doors and let criminals out. It almost seems like there is a lessening, even in traffic, people running red lights. It's almost like a spirit of lawlessness, the increase. I mean, I'm sure you're inundated, the forces and 911 with calls constantly.
You know, it's very strange that the call volume actually went down in 2020. We had less 911 calls, but the violent crime
went up. What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, it's really hard to tell, and keep in mind that, you know, we're in 2021, but really the only thing that changed is the year, right? It's the number changed. All the other factors are still in place. You know, the economy is down, you know, because of the lockdowns and zero cash or $0 bail. I mean, that hurts us. When we go and identify somebody who is somebody that's committing serious crimes, and we lock them up and they just get out 4 hours later, that's not only is it demoralizing for the officers who are out there risking themselves to try to apprehend these folks, but what does that say to the community? You know, and these people are just right back out. So that's something that I'm really hoping is addressed once we get out of this COVID lockdown.
I'm looking at some of these numbers across America, and a lot of these cities cut their police departments. Portland, their homicide rate is up 1,900%. In Austin, it's up 23%. Minneapolis, 46%. Philadelphia, they're up 33%. So, I mean, it's not just Fresno that this is happening. It's happening across America. What are we at, 23, I think, murders?
We're at 23 homicides, and 14 of those are gang-related. We know that are gang-related. So the gang culture is very strong here. It's a thing.
Is it stronger than Oklahoma City?
Oh, yeah. There's 5,000 gang members in Oklahoma City, 20,000 here in Fresno. So it's more of a gang culture here. And that's something that is perpetuated, I believe, by the lack of opportunity, by the economy being down. You know, when young people in the inner city don't have positive things to do, then a lot of them are influenced to a life of crime. So, you know, we have to do a better job as a city to provide these opportunities, to provide
Imagine resources. You don't have to imagine, but the lack of supervision with the lockdown, with parents working, the kids in school, and
it's difficult.
Yeah, it really is. And it might lead to some kids and some young adults, and maybe even older adults, but dirt. I mean, we've had some crazy street racing, and going fast in a car can be fun in the right environment and conditions, and but it can also be deadly. And you guys have been cracking down and actually impounding, right? And like, they got to pay a whole lot of money if they ever want to get on the streets again.
There are serious consequences to street racing, and basically we have estimated through, you know, fines and costs and things like that, that it, you know, the average person is going to cost them about $16,000, and they're going to lose their vehicle for about a month if they're involved in street racing. And we've continued these operations, and we're sending the message. It's gotten back to us that a lot of the street racing folks, they're not going to do it here in Fresno because it's too hot, as they say. But, you know, we're also working on some other things. I know Council President Luis Chavez he reached out, and we've got some ideas about maybe creating some type of an avenue, you know, some type of an event where people can come out and show off their cars and spend a nice afternoon, you know, do it in a controlled, safe environment.
You know, when I lived up in Elk Grove, that's by Sacramento, mm-hmm. When my kids were little, and I would let them each pick one thing they could go with dad and do one at a time, one-on-one time. And my second oldest son, he was probably like 5 or 6, he said, "I want to go see race cars." And I'm like, "Where's a racetrack? I don't want to drive all the way over to the Bay Area." And I looked it up in Sacramento, and they had exactly what you're talking about. Out in middle nowhere, a big, long strip where there were cars and, you know, separated, and they could race each other. And it was just, you know, the average Joe would pull up in his hot rod and vroom. I would go watch something like that here.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is maybe close off some streets so they can just show off their cars, and we can make it a family event, and we can make it a community event. And
so not street racing.
Not street racing.
Oh, I thought when you said you were going to open that up, thought you were going to do what they did.
That's kind of a big liability. I don't think the city's going to let us do that. But this is not, you know, my big idea. It's the council president. And, again, it shows the collaboration between just city government. You know, we're trying to create some type of a positive avenue for some of these young people to come off and show off their cars, and, you know, have a, you know, engage and see one another and kind of open things up a little bit, and maybe have some food vendors there so we can support them as well. So at this point,
what's that? Oh, that's called hanging out. I forgot what that's like. We all kind of forgot.
We haven't done it in a while.
We haven't done it in a while. He's in studio. Fresno Police Chief Paco Baldarama will be back with more next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Our new police chief, Fresno Police Chief Paco Baldarama in studio. Chief, thank you. Appreciate it. And we're going to call you new for a year. Is that cool?
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
After it's
been
one
like 3
year,
months. So.
After 1 year, you'll be just right around here. Now, you have been running in Woodward Park.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice place to get out and get it going on out there? It sure is. And let me ask you, what is your version? Mayor Dyer's talked about One Fresno. What's Chief Baldarama's version of One Fresno, your vision?
Yeah. Well, I think it's about everybody in the community having opportunities, some of the same opportunities. And I think we have to move the city in the same direction. I see a lot of potential here. At the same time, I've heard that saying that, you know, Fresno's a tale of two cities, and I get why. You know, when I first got here, I drove around and I, you know, went to Southeast Fresno, and I got to see that part of town. And then, you know, you go to Northwest Fresno, and it's a little bit different. So I think it's about making decisions, citywide decisions that are what's best for everybody, and creating opportunities for everyone, educational opportunities, job opportunities. You know, some people are better off than others, and there's a lot of factors involved in that, education or you know, business savvy or whatever else. But
well,
I think
education, you can point that. You know, we're right above Detroit on an education level. You know, we're tied with Cleveland. Mm-hmm. That's not right.
Education is huge. You know, if we want to create opportunity, I think education is the key. But I know that the mayor and the city council have a lot of big plans for just development. And when we have new development, that creates jobs. So we need jobs in Fresno. So those jobs should be opportunities for us to you know, kind of move up and move out.
Hey, it might be easier to recruit officers to Fresno, especially the ones that might have little kids. You hear Six Flags might be coming?
Did you hear? Oh, that would be great. I hope that happens.
Look at that right there as well. Violent crime, that is the number one issue that we are hearing about here in Fresno. And let me just ask you directly, what's the plan? The plan from the police?
So it's a big plan. It's a changing plan. You know, these plans to address violent crime cannot be rigid. You got to be flexible. And when you see a trend changing, you got to be able to come back and either take away resources, add resources. So we have some specialized units that we're moving around, and we're doing that very strategically to lower violent crime.
Is that the description of being flexible? Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And you know what? Our police officers are willing to do that. We have moved motorcycle cops, and we've assigned some of them to the districts so they can take the load off of patrol. You know, we don't have enough patrol officers, so our motorcycle units, they're handling most of the DUIs and the traffic accidents. Why? So it'll free up the patrol officers so they can respond to calls. That's just one idea. You know, we've also put some of our investigative units in cars and sign them to patrol. You know, that's where we need the manpower right now. So there's little things like that we are beginning to do to flex things around.
What does it take? You have openings. How many did you say again? Four a month, but
yeah,
you
57,
have 57
vacancies
to fill
right now. Yeah.
Okay. I'm at an interview. What are you looking for? What do people need to become an officer?
Ethics is really huge right now. You know, we want honest people that are hardworking, that are you know, have that servant attitude. That they know that being a police officer is not about you know, being above anybody else or being better than anybody else. It's about being a servant. It's about being a public servant. That's what being a police officer is. So we want smart people that are educated, that are ethical, that we can show some stability in their background and some financial stability. You know, that's what we need. Obviously, there's some physical things that they have to pass as well.
Is there age, education? Does that come in? Like, how old can you – what's too old to become an officer? Like 30, 40? What is
it? Well, no, in Oklahoma City, it was 42, and it's a little bit higher here. I think you can be up to 49, and we'll take you.
To be a rookie?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, background, you know, we have to do background checks, and obviously you can't be involved in any hard drugs or anything like that. But
have background checks become more lenient as societies become more lenient?
I wouldn't say more lenient, but obviously, you know, when I started down here, if you'd smoked marijuana once, you know, there had to be a 5-year span. Well, now that's something that's more accepted, right? We still can't have a police officer smoking marijuana, but we understand that, you know, coming from a place like Fresno, some kids don't come up in the best environment. So we're willing to kind of look past that.
So if you ask them, when's the last time you done drugs, and they look at their watch, you might go, maybe
that's not a clue not to hire them.
That's not the guy or gal, right? At times, I see radio studios in movies or on a TV show, and they have headphones on or don't, and it would feedback. Is it impossible as a policeman to watch TV and see crime in TV shows, police shows, and go, that's not how it's done? Does that?
I think it depends on a personality. Right? Cops was my favorite show before I became a police officer.
Well, that was real life, though.
That was real life.
But the fake ones, you know, the.
Yeah, I'm not much.
Do they
the
do
fake
it?
Ones.
So you don't watch
really,
those
no,
too much.
No, I don't.
See, I was curious if they do it right or not.
They don't do it right.
Live PD. I miss live PD so much.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. Of course, you know, once I became a police officer, I couldn't watch those shows anymore because I would see myself in those situations. So my stress level and my. I would kind of get amped up. So, you know, I'm trying to relax on my time off, not get amped up.
Well, it'd be like a pizza maker going home and rolling dough. Who would want
Who wants to do that?
Cut pepperoni. No. You got to relax and jog around Woodward Park. And any chance of your brother in law enforcement coming out, or is he still enjoying Oklahoma City?
No, he's enjoying Oklahoma City just fine. And, you know, he's running a district out there, and you know, he has roots and his in-laws are there. So I don't think I'm going to lure him out here anytime soon.
Hey, Chief, I'm glad you're here. I really am. And I'm glad that you're getting along with City Council and the mayor and your One Fresno vision. And you are standing up. And, boy, you could hear the passion in your voice here.
The Fresno Police Department is certainly not going to put up with this type of violence in our community. And the message that I want to send is that for anybody who is thinking of assaulting, murdering any innocent person such as Mr. Bettis, we will find you and we're going to lock you up.
Chief Paco Baldorama, God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk again here real soon. Thank you, man. Remember that old story before the year of our Lord, the lockdown, about the kids in cages? Translate now in the year of our Lord, the lockdown, is kids in government care. That's what it's called. And we'll get the latest from the border on the ground next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
He already is, and he's going to continue to be very good for this community.
I think most importantly, I'm excited about meeting the members of this community. I'm excited to listen to what you have to say, to your thoughts, to your ideas, to your experiences. And I'm really going to use that in order to really determine what this community needs from this police department to make this a better place to live.
Thank you to Chief Paco Baldarama giving us his time, coming in studio, spending a half hour with us. We were talking, I think it's the fourth or maybe fifth time we've actually had him on the show. So great accessibility, and we appreciate him giving his time. We got law enforcement down on the border working overtime. Texas Rangers rescued a baby that was thrown into the Rio Grande by smugglers. Can you even imagine? And, you know, that's just one story of many. Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, he called for the United States to shut down the entire immigration system and have a timeout. He said, like we shut down travel from China and other nations. That makes, that actually makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, makes a whole lot of sense. Down in El Centro, California, the Border Patrol down there arrested. Are you ready? You know, when all the Democrats in the debate raise their hands, free health care. Who's for free health care for anybody that wants to come into our country from anywhere else around the world? And all those Democrats raise their hands up. Man, that's an invitation, because to give free health care, you have to be here. Just wait until Dodger Stadium's blown up. Just wait until an entire mall's blown up. Just wait until the Bay Bridge is blown up. Border Patrol arrested two Yemeni nationals who illegally crossed. They're on the terrorism watch list, a no-fly list. And, you know, you're hearing of tens of thousands that aren't even being caught. All it takes is one wrong cat. Now, out of those tens of thousands that are coming, we don't know who's in between, do we? Agents identified 26-year-old illegal from Yemen, 33-year-old illegal alien from Yemen. During the search, they found a cell phone SIM card hidden underneath the insole of the shoe. That sounds a little spy versus spy. They processed them, turned them over to ICE. You know, the KKK is our current Vice President Kamala Mala calls them. Yeah, they're in custody, but we don't even know what has slipped through at all. Let's go look at some data, and let me remind you of something. Let's go back. How far back? Not that far back. Remember that thing about kids in cages? Remember all of that? AOC down there and her downy whites, remember, up against the fence. And then you pull that camera back a little bit, and she wasn't even at the kids in cages place. She was in a parking lot with vans on the other side. Yeah, all of them crying, the kids in cages. We heard about it nonstop, nonstop. What did the Washington Post have to say in 2019 about President Trump? Held in grim steel and concrete cells built for adults, these young people are spending an average of 107 hours awaiting transfer to a shelter, well over the 72-hour legal limit, the data shows. What did ABC report last week? Well, let's see. There are 17,641 unaccompanied migrant minors in government care. So we've gone from kids in cages to government care. Let's look at the data, shall we, Fauci and Vora? Two guys that don't have data. I have data. Joe Biden right now detaining 18,000 minors. And we're not talking about guys from coal mines. We're talking about kids. Let's look at some more data. What was the peak number when President Trump was in office? 2,600. Donald Trump had 2,600 kids in cages. Joe Biden has 18,000 in government care. Notice how they were held in concrete cells built for adults, and Biden, they're in government care. The number's risen 50% in just the last 3 weeks. What about 3 weeks from now? What about 3 weeks after that? I know doing math is racist these days, but we can start to kind of add this up. Can we not? Yes, we can. Joe, what are you going to do, man?
Okay. Hang on. Sorry.
Hey, Kamala. Put Kamala in charge.
Put Kamala. Okay.
He ended up putting Kamala in charge, did he not? Yes, he did. We all heard him say it. And what's Kamala Mala done? Well, she was out here. I mean, she was in Southern California. Did she go down to the border? Nah, she didn't go down to the border on Easter weekend. No, she tweeted out her beautiful pork roast and made rice and peas, she said. Yeah, she's in charge of the border, and she's at home making pork roast and rice and peas. You know, when there's a crisis going on and you're a politician, don't ever put anything out publicly that you're doing to enjoy yourself. Presidents get in trouble all the time. You know, while Rome burned, Obama was golfing. While Rome burned, George Bush was golfing. While Rome burned, just fill in, Trump was golfing. Yeah, if you're a president, don't go golfing when there's a crisis going on. And don't make pot roast rice and peas when you're supposed to be down on the southern border. She's gone 15 days without holding a news conference about her new position, her new authority. let's see. She was in Oakland. What was she doing out here in California? Well, she was supporting face mask Gagin in his recall. Yesterday, she visited Chicago to tell everybody to get their COVID shot. Oh, boy, she's focused, isn't she? Isn't she focused? Since the beginning of this administration, she has taken some questions from the media, but she hasn't held a news conference. So the White House, They're trying to claim that Kamala Mala was not involved with the border crisis, but she was addressing the root causes, not the border, the root causes of it. Could it have been when you raised your hand and showed your armpits, Kamala? Could that have been it? When you raised your hand up and said, yeah, come on into our country. Could that maybe you're the root cause? They're going to see what the root cause is. It's actually them. 2 weeks since being dubbed the border czar. No conference, hadn't gone to the border, missing an action. And you got Joe Biden blaming President Trump. Yeah, talking about the surge we're dealing with started with the last administration. But it's their responsibility to deal with it humanely. Nothing says urgency like putting things off for a few weeks, you know, too busy hobnobbing, taking trips, you know, to go down and settle the border crisis. You know, and wouldn't it be nice maybe to get an update to the public, to the American public on how Kamala Mala is progressing and her ending this crisis, right? Anything? Any pictures of this insanity going on? No, the last thing they want are pictures. That's why the Republican lawmakers that visited down there were told to delete the photos that they had taken. They went down and they didn't want them to even come close at all to being able to show what was going on. Ted Cruz did the dodge back and forth with some 25-year-old woman that was not allowing him to take pictures. Think of the children. He was thinking of the children. That's why he was down there. Joe Biden right now is spending four times more, listen, to house illegal aliens than he is on the troops in D.C. The bill for the Capitol mess came out to about $483 million. But the illegal aliens coming across the border, they're getting a lot better deal. They're not. The soldiers had to sleep on cold parking garage floors. Biden gave 86 million contracts to house 1,200 illegals in hotels. That's four times as much money being spent per illegal alien compared to the total amount that they're actually spending on the soldiers. Do you know what? You know how the Trump administration actually handled the soldiers? Best Western, Comfort Suites, Hampton Inn. That's where Trump actually put quite a few soldiers. But we've seen right now 86.9 million contracts spent to estimated $12,000 per migrant every month, almost $400 a day. Almost $400 a day. It's actually $398 a day. What are the illegals getting for that, aside from the hotel and the food? Well, they're getting services, they're getting education, they're getting free welfare system, and maybe that actually is what brought them here. The magnet, the welfare system. This is not unexpected at all. For Joe Biden and Kamala to act like the arrival of illegals caught them by surprise, that's a total lie. And all this is at our taxpayer expense. And right now, on day, let's see, Wednesday, day 385. We got millions of Americans not making money, still suffering, still think of all the family drama that's going on because of these lockdowns. And they actually want to bring people into the country that could be infected. Already, while we're out of work, they're giving our jobs away to illegal aliens arriving. It's not a crime. I tell you what, they've declared war on America. The Democrats have. Spending a lot more, far more, four times on illegal aliens than on the troops. And isn't it something how the Democrats built walls in D.C., then shut the walls down on the border? Remember old Tom Perez? We haven't played him in a while. He's the foul-mouthed chairman of the DNC, cuss word, blankety blank Trump. Yeah, at their Democratic National Convention. I don't have the audio at my fingertips, but he's not a good guy. He outright said the Democrat Party's future electoral viability depended on large-scale immigration from south of the border. Guys, it's not an accident. What's going on? This is a Marxist play, man. It's a total Marxist play. It's name me one thing that benefits the United States in any shape, form, or fashion. 559-230-4242. Name me one thing that benefits the United States in any way. In any way. It does not. And they're bringing kids over and putting phone numbers on the wrist to call family members inside the United States. And you think that child sex trafficking is not going to go on that way? I mean, just that alone. I was glad to hear Senator Lindsey Graham talking about when Joe Biden actually said, yeah, we're going to put phone numbers and then we'll just make a phone call, just a phone call. And what we're seeing happening, they're not running away from Border Patrol agents. They're running to them. I've read many things where agents are saying they're social workers. They're babysitters. They're cafeteria workers. The Biden administration right now, he needs to go down to the border with Kamala by his side and have a megaphone, just like George W. Bush did at 9/11, when those megaphones, don't leave your home. Do not, I repeat, do not come to our country. If you do, I repeat, you will be sent home. It has to stop. Senator John Hovind of North Dakota, I mean, it was... To hear him say this, he was talking about when the senators were down there, and this is why there's a media blackout, guys. He said they saw a dead body in the river on their way to a news conference. Just a body floating. The senator said he witnessed people streaming in illegally and being processed underneath a bridge in the middle of the night. And they were told, as U.S. citizens on U.S. soil, you can't take photos. Media blackout. They don't want us to see it. Republican from Montana, Senator Steve Daines, said Montana's been hit with a flood of meth from Mexico. We know it's happened. And you do know that these Democrat decisions and what they're doing are going to kill Americans. The flood of drugs coming across, and you're going, well, those Americans don't have to take those drugs. If they die, it's their problem. They shouldn't have taken those drugs. Well, okay. But we also know addiction's a big thing, and this is fueling it. And it's fueling when you don't have drug money, then you got to go steal three catalytic converters from a radio station. That's what's happening all across this land, and it's a media blackout, and Kamala Harris has not been down there at all.
I will not sit here and be lectured.
Sorry, we're going to keep lecturing you. Okay, you ready to go UFO? Unidentified drones swarmed multiple United States destroyers off the coast of California. What did the Navy say about it? They said, well, they're still unidentified. And we'll tell you the whole story next.
The new number to talk to Trevor, 559-230-4242. That's 559-230-4242. The Trevor Carey Show. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, coming up after 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about there's actually, truly, a war against Christianity, and you're not going to tell me that it is not.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. Mental illness, if I'm not correct. I'm hearing voices.
Oh, yeah, the New York Times now has the perfect scapegoat for the continuation of lockdowns. Who the New York Times write about? White evangelical Christians. We'll talk about it. Coming up after 5 o'clock, have you seen a UFO? I always say when I see one, I will stop what I'm doing and do a podcast from a basement that I will go find for the rest of my life. I will devote it to it, that we are not alone. Boy, we've seen a lot of stories coming out. And when the government and the military sits there and goes, well, we can identify what this actually is, bizarre events off the coast. Now, this is coming out. This is from 2019 from the chief of naval operations saying they are unexplained. The Navy had a roundtable with reporters on Monday. Chief of Naval Operations, that's the U.S. Navy's top officer, was asked us about a series of, they're saying, bizarre incidents that took place in July of 19, described as, the only thing they can describe them as drones that were swarming American destroyers off the coast of Southern California. They asked that the Navy had positively identified any of the aircraft involved. The U.S. Navy's top officer responded by saying, quote, no, we have not. I'm aware of those sightings. It's been reported there have been other sightings by aviators in the air and by other ships, not only of the United States, but other nations, and, of course, other elements within the U.S. Joint Force. These destroyers, those are big old ships. They were swarmed by these mysterious drones off California over numerous nights. Why wouldn't you shoot at them? If you don't know, I'm guessing they are small, right? Couldn't you take a 50 millimeter, blow them all right out of the sky? I don't know. They said the findings have been collected. They're still being analyzed. They don't have anything new to report. And of course, you gotta ask the obvious, don't you? Is there any suspicion that the aircraft described as drones were extraterrestrial? That's the question that was asked. What was the Navy's response? No, I can't speak to that. And then they followed up with, I have no indication at all of that. Well, of course, they're not going to go, well, yes, we do think that they actually are, extraterrestrials. But they have you seen those United States Air Force pilot things? I think that was from, 17, 18, that they were some freedom of information thing got them released. And they just cannot explain what they've actually seen. I can't explain what we've actually seen going on in America. I've never felt under threat or attack in America my entire life until now. Let me see. Let me check them off. First of all, I'm white. Second of all, I'm a Republican. Third, I'm male. Let me say a conservative. So I'm white, I'm a conservative, I'm male. And just like Agent Squires, I'm cisgender. We know what that means now, don't we? That means you're comfortable with being the gender that God created you to be. Shall I dare use the word normal? What is normal? That's right. That's the question. What is normal? You can't even go outside, walk around. Nothing's normal.
May I see your papers?
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'd have to ask you to come along.
You know, in any fascist, socialist, or communist state, the government, which always includes the media, you know what they'll do? They'll find scapegoats, right? Hitler found scapegoats. Stalin found scapegoats. China's Mao and their great leap forward, he found a bunch of scapegoats. Is the New York Times scapegoating for continuation of lockdowns? Well, everything I just checked off right there next.